In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, the Feast of All Saints is still a holiday of obligation, so the Church has decided to transfer it to today, Sunday. So we're going to celebrate the Mass on the Solemnity of All Saints. Now, saints come from all walks of life, and St. Paul gives us a kind of rundown of saints. I'm going to try to find this in the sacred scripture. It's at the end of verse 12 of the first epistle to the Corinthians, where it says God has given us different positions in the Church. Apostles first, then prophets, thirdly teachers, then come miraculous powers, then gifts of healing, works of mercy, the management of affairs, speaking with different tongues, interpreting for prophecy. Are all of us apostles, all prophets, all teachers? Have all miraculous powers or gifts of healing? Can all speak with tongues? Can all interpret? Prize the best gifts of heaven. Meanwhile, I can show you a way which is better than any other. And of course we know that in chapter 13 it goes on to talk about charity. But what do all the saints in heaven have in common? Not just the canonized ones, but all the rest. Well, in my opinion, and you can have your opinion, of course, I think it is when God asks you to do something and you don't want to do it, you're not inclined to do it. But nevertheless, you go ahead and you carry it out. Now, I've got a very good example of this. Many years ago, when I was just for a very, very short time spiritual director of the region of Opus Dei in England, I had a job. I had to find a priest to look after a course in Bangor, North Wales. That particular time, Father Michael Richards, the first priest of Opus Dei in England, he had been appointed by Bishop Pettit of Menevia Diocese to be the chaplain of the university. And in the summertime, when he abandoned the university, we used to have annual courses in Derwin Deck, all exclusively for ladies. Now, during that time, you had to be accommodated in the chaplaincy. And these were very, very kind of sparse and austere, because Michael used to just leave us with the room on the top floor and then the room at the very bottom, almost in the cellar, where you could make a cup of tea. And no facilities for making any meals, so it was a bit unappetizing, you might say. Anyway, I'd been ringing the various priests around the country to ask them whether they'd be willing to go to Bangor to sort this course out. And everybody said no. Then I turned to Grand Pont, where a Spanish priest called Don Pedro Villar. And I said to him, would you be happy to go to Bangor, look after an annual course for ladies in August? And there was a pregnant pause. Then after a while, a voice came back and said, yes, I will do it. So I thought, good for him and good for me. Thank goodness my problem was solved. And I think that's what it is that is needed when we're striving for holiness, to be ready to do God's will. Now, I always think that if I'm going to give a meditation on any topic, I start thinking, what did Saint Jose Maria say about this? Now, I've got two sources. One is a little homily, which he gave in 1972, which we'll talk about later. The other is a meditation I was fortunate enough to hear in my last year before I left Rome. Now, we were very fortunate in those years I was in Rome, 1958 to 1961. We got 7 meditations given by Saint Jose Maria, and he gave almost a dozen or more meditations to other groups. Probably 20, I don't know. But he was strong, you know. He'd now been cured of his diabetes in 1955 by Our Lady of Montserrat. Anyway, he gave us this meditation at the end of a retreat I was attending. And it was the last meditation but one, and is relevant to our topic today of All Saints. So, this is what he said. He concentrated on struggle, on fighting. He said, you know how I have given you those norms for your plan of life. He who fights, or he started out saying, he who fulfills those norms of the plan of life has heaven assured. Or better still, he who fights to fulfill his plan of life has heaven assured. It was very important to him to avoid lukewarmness, but to be ready to struggle. Then he shouted out, and then the examination of conscience. Never leave it out, he shouted. Always examine to see how that struggle is getting on. Now, as regards the homily that he preached in Villa delle Rose in Rome, it was on the 5th of November 1972, and it was in fact all about All Saints. I'm going to just make a rough translation of it if I can manage. My daughters, put effort into never forgetting your interior life, because it's very important for you to be holy, for all of us to be holy. Now, certainly, we know that on earth we will never really achieve it, because the only saints that there are, they're all in heaven. Some of them have been canonized, but the vast majority have not. And many of these who have not been canonized are holier than the canonized ones. And when they lived on earth, they thought of themselves as poor creatures. They never used to think about themselves, "I'm a saint." They just knew they were poor creatures, full of defects. And if not, they would have been proud. They wouldn't be saints at all. They wouldn't be in heaven. I need a little drink of water just now. So they wouldn't be in heaven at all. Then from then, he turned on to the means. He said, sanctity, I've said that, when we're on earth, we won't find it. But yes, we've got to tend towards it. To want to put an effort into knowing the law of God, of never separating ourselves from that law of God. And if we should happen to separate ourselves, then straight away to ask for forgiveness. And then peaceful, serene, calm, have recourse to the holy sacrament of penance, which the Lord has placed there, because he knows our weakness. And we have besides other means in Opus Dei. We have our spiritual direction, and we have to be very sincere. I say savagely sincere, because it's not a good idea to hide anything. I'm not talking about things in the past. There are things in the past, we say them on just one occasion and then we forget about them. But say everything that's on your mind, and then forward, and they will help you. My daughters, while we're here on earth, we creatures feel all the passions, and it hasn't to make us feel ashamed of feeling these passions. We should be ashamed before God of not resisting them, especially when they are evil passions. But shame, if we don't have recourse to ask for pardon from God, if we don't have recourse to people who can help us, those sisters of ours are there for the sole purpose of helping us to holiness and to give us a helping hand. So be very sincere and be loyal in your vocation. In this way you will help in the loyalty and the sincerity of everybody else in the world. Say to our Lord, Lord, you have said that you came on earth to bring your love and your light of your faith and to make us happy. And this humanity of yours, it is wretched because it doesn't know you. Increase the number of vocations for the work. I'm insisting a great deal on this because we need vocations. Many more people. And I'm asking also of vocations of religious and both men and women, holy vocations. But in a special way, we have an obligation to seek vocations for ourselves. And then finally, say to Our Lady, who is the Mother of God, that ejaculation, which I composed years ago, which I asked you to repeat frequently. Cor Maria Dulcissimum, Iter Paratutum, most sweetheart of Mary, prepare a safe way for us. And then to the heart of Jesus, Cor Jesu Sacratissimum et Misericors, most sacred and merciful heart of Jesus, Dona Nobis Pacem, grant us peace. We pray for peace for the whole world. So that's the homily. Now it's quite clear that when our Father spoke to us about perseverance, about the need for struggle, he was obeying the basic principle of the work. And this is not surprising. When I heard from Father Dick, who went to Rome a few years after me, Father Dick's dog, who died recently, he told me once how when he had been in Rome, one of the get-togethers, one day, one of the persons there said, Father, we've just started in our studies now, ascetical and mystical theology. Of course, you know that nowadays, they don't speak about mystical theology, but about spiritual theology. That's the title of the big book by Father Oldman. Anyway, but they started ascetical mystical theology. And he said, Father, which is true of the theology of the work? And our Father was very surprisingly answered, because he didn't like to talk about a theology of the work. And he said that, well, although he didn't want to classify the Opus Dei theology, says if it comes down to it, it's ascetical, not mystical. Which what he means really is that in Opus Dei we're not bothered and measure sanctity by how many visions and locutions from Almighty God we've had, or any miracles we happen to have performed, like St. Anthony of Padua. Did you know, by the way, that before he was canonized, there were 53 authorized first-class miracles to his name, whereas normally to get canonized, you need just one. So no surprise, he's called the Wonder Worker. But sanctity consists not in all those supernatural manifestations, but in struggling day by day in our work to keep in the presence of God, saying before we start our work, "Here I am, Lord, for you have called me. And I know that you're my Father, and you love me very much, and you see everything I do. You analyse everything, see every tiny little detail. Well, I want to carry it out, this job, as well as it is possible to carry it out, because it's for you, for your glory. And I want to offer it to you to make you happy." I just look at the computer to see the time. So we've got 3 more minutes to go. And you'll notice that I haven't said anything about today's gospel, which is all about the 8 Beatitudes. Now, there are only 8 Beatitudes listed, but they are really just the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And there are 20 or more of these. There are umpteen of them. But it won't do any harm to speak a little bit now, even though I might have to repeat it in the homily. Any good soul, any good chosen Christian soul who's fighting to be a saint will be filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts will produce the fruit, enabling that soul to be poor, to be detached from material goods, to be generous in almsgiving, then to be meek and forbearing with others when they're very bossy and harsh in their dealings with us, and to be sorry like Jesus mourning at the ignorance and the rejection of God and his goodness and graciousness by so many people, and to be full of purity and cleanness of heart in spite of the atmosphere of hedonism in the world, and to be determined to strive for holiness. In society, promoting peace and promoting the gospel with love for the Church and the Pope. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions. Oh, I'm sorry, we're 5 minutes early. I forgot, I didn't mention Our Lady either, so we need to finish our prayer. and recalling to mind our Blessed Mother Mary, who is the Queen of all saints. And she will be continually watching over us and helping us in our daily struggle for sanctity. So imagine to yourself that Our Lady is watching over you with great love and tenderness. She will have her arms outstretched, and so you'll feel an inclination to go towards her and place yourself in her arms. And of course you could do that similarly with Saint Joseph, to be held in his strong arms as well. And they will give us the strength to be determined, as I said earlier on, when we're faced with something we don't like to do, that we're not inclined to do, which is really the hallmark of sanctity. Every now and again, God will place before us things that are difficult for us to carry out. He was saying to us, "Are you willing, my son, my daughter, to do this job for me, to undertake this task for me?" And then lying down, better we are to go away, to think, to ask for grace, to be able to do it, and then to go back to God. Say, "Yes, Lord, I will do it. I will work in your vineyard." But unlike the man in the parable, but to not just say I'm ready to work in the vineyard, but actually to take steps and to go into it. We can imagine that we are like that little donkey. It's like a symbol of every member of the work. Little donkey is ready to follow the master, to be guided by him, to be mounted by him, or simply to go round and round in the water wheel, day after day, fulfilling God's work, so that there will be great fruits of the Holy Spirit in the vineyard. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.